Leicester looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Roles podcast preview show supported by Phantom Bruco. Well, it's been another eventful kind of week in the world of Reading FC, despite the fact that we haven't played. But do we expect anything different? No, we don't. I can hear you all saying. So I've also been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, not too bad, Paul. Finally, Touchwood seems to be a bit of a quiet day today, so I'm expecting the world to implode from the inside.
Oh my God, I fear what's coming now. I really do. No, I'll tell you what, I did really enjoy reading your article on the Cell Before We Die group, which was really good. Had Sarah in there, had Alex in there, has Ian in there, was it as well?
Kaz
as well, yes. Mm. It was really, really good, and I'd highly recommend it. I'm not just saying that because he's here on the podcast with me, but it is really worth taking a good, like, 15, 20 minutes to have a look at that. So well done for doing that, James, and top work, basically.
Cheers, Paul. Thank you very much. Always nice to have a nice plug and some nice comments rather than slating me for my grammar.
I'm definitely not in a position to do that. That 100%, I'm not going to be doing that ever. So this is a week that we've also seen Star have a meeting with the EFL. They've also came out with their comments after their weekly, kind of weekly 10-day catch-up with Nigel Howe and the Cell of Reading FC on how it's going. Well, the worst thing that came out of that wasn't necessarily that the Cell hasn't happened. I don't think we all want it to happen, but I don't think if any of us realistically expected that to be suddenly coming out this week. But that there is a shortfall on the money for paying off the wages and HMRC and probably creditors this month. That is a major concern, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I think it is a concern. And I think the biggest concern is that it's not an unusual feat to be in. Unfortunately, there's a reason why I now have to ring up every month to find out if wages have been paid, is because there's been too many times in the last couple of years where that hasn't been the case. You know, they've been relying very much on last minute money being put across, last year or so from Dye and sort of the nearer, more recent ones from other sources. But, you know, for Nigel to kind of speak so openly and allow it to kind of be put out like that, that we are going to be skint, kind of shows the club are getting to a desperate kind of stage where they want people to realise just how kind of close to the bone and nail biting it kind of is. It's deeply concerning and deeply worrying. But, you know, nothing more we can do other than support the team on the pitch and kind of hope that Nigel can work some magic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing we can do, which we've both pushed, is buying more tickets for home matches, because that makes a huge difference, the finances. I mean, buying things like shirts and everything like that is great. And I understand why people love doing that. I totally get that. And they are bargainous at the moment, only £20. But the percentages that Reading FC make on that really is nothing compared to buying tickets for a home match. So if you can get to the game, you know anyone you can get there, please do try and get along, because we need to get that stadium as full as possible, because the club right now needs the support of everyone they can get into that ground and get those finances up dramatically, I would say, because it's, you know, if we don't pay those wages and we don't do the HMRC, we will have another 2 points deduction. Yes, I hear you all saying, we all know that's going to come at some point, Paul, but come on, let's try and have a push. I mean, the fans have been absolutely insane this season, taking 1,400 to Carlisle, James, and you were there, but if we can just have another push, I know it's hard.
Yeah. You know, I hate kind of always forcing it on the fans, because the fans have been, you know, the most consistently best thing about the club for years after, even with the kind of turmoil that we've gone through. But these are the times that the club need you. You know, they need the town. They need the whole town to come out. Even if you can't go to the game, if you're able to, you know, just even buy a ticket and give it to a friend or a neighbour that might be able to go. Obviously we want it full for the players and for the staff. You know, a full stadium will spur them on to pick up the points if we need to stay up. But obviously, off the field. It's the finances. We don't want another deduction, and we don't want to have to keep scrambling around and asking sort of local businesses to kind of stump up or even leave staff and local businesses out of pocket without paying creditors or without paying the staff. You know, it's a vicious cycle, and the only ones that end up missing out is the local community. So yeah, you know, if you can get down there, I don't know, they're expecting a higher than average crowd on Saturday, but obviously there's plenty of room everywhere else for even more. Still five games to go. So yeah, get down there. Every little helps.
Yep, that's it. Let's get on to some more upbeat topic now. Let's talk about Carlisle away. A huge journey there and back for James and everyone else who went there, unless you live quite close to the ground, which some people do. You're out of it. Sorry. We love you, really. But a 3-1 win, a game that we must win, and we went out and did it. And, I mean, it could have been 5 or 6, couldn't it? Quite easily.
Very. It was most un-Reading-like to go into a must-win game and actually comfortably win it. You know, 2-0 at half-time and cruising. Got the third. They kind of went, took their foot off and tried to play a bit more kind of carefree. And it looked great, but kind of defensively, their eye was coming off the ball a bit. And, you know, Carlisle had a spell of about 15 minutes. They scored. Thankfully, they didn't score the second, because then it really would have been squeaky bum time. But yeah, 3-1, happy days. Sends everybody home happy and sends me out into Carlisle very, very happy on Saturday night.
Oh, what's Carlisle like on a Saturday night? I've got to ask you.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, not some interesting moments. I was refused entry into one nightclub for singing too many Reading songs, which isn't my proudest moment, but I'd had a few beers and it's one of those. I got let in everywhere else. So, you know, somewhere took my money, but just not that place.
That's an exclusive there. So, yeah. No, I'm sure it was a great night. And it is, you know, whatever's happening off the pitch, which is an absolute nightmare, to be honest. On the pitch, the team has come together so much. And we've said this repeatedly in the last few months. They take the setback after the game against Shrewsbury. And what do? They come back, get a win. I mean, the team look really good now. I think we look like a top 6, top 8 team, which, considering how bad we were for the first 15, is quite remarkable. And yeah, again, another credit to Ruben Selous for making that happen. Seems to now have 9-10 starters guaranteed every single week and just rotates it slightly.
Yeah, it's quite a change from the, you know, sort of the early season. I think from November sort of time, I think we're 5th in the table form-wise, and that's a, you know, pretty decent whack of the season to be able to assess. Yeah, you know, it's a happy days on the pitch. You know, it's even amazing with their sort of mentality after keep getting whacks. You know, us fans obviously feel it, and no doubt the players definitely do as well, with the points and the, you know, the fear that they might not even be paid month to month. You know, always, you know, whatever win they get, they always think, oh, that win could only be worth a draw if they get the points taken off. So it's taking a massive mental toll on the players, but you know, we've actually got a group who seem to enjoy playing for Reading, which makes a nice change. And we enjoy watching them play for Reading.
Yeah, the link hasn't been stronger between the fans and the players and the club in many ways, between the fans for so many years. Obviously, you know, would much rather it is in a far more positive manner right up the end of the other end of the table, no ownership issues. But that's not where we are, so we have to deal with that. What we have now is a game coming up against Wickham. I'm not going to call it a derby. I refuse to call it a derby.
Cool. The Barks and Bucks derby.
It can't be, though. It can't be. Surely they don't see it as a derby as well. I mean, I do nothing against Wickham. I'm full of respect for them. They maximise what they've got. A good luck to them. I say, well done. They don't have the issues that we've got. So credit to them. But what do you think will be the score in this match, James, in this local rivalry?
I wouldn't call it a rivalry. I would call it a derby, because I think it's based on where you are. And derby-wise, it's our nearest game. Therefore, I would class it as a derby, but there's no animosity, so I don't think it's a rivalry. But that's my take on the
local opponents. Then let's really bring it down.
our local rivals, near neighbours is how I'd describe it.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah, well, someone would think you're a neighbour, like a journalist, there, wouldn't they? Neighbour. Oh my God, Paul, you've lost it.
I'm a neighbour to someone. Everyone's a neighbour to someone. I'm gonna go for 1-1. Lovely, lovely. My fence, my backside is getting very prickly with that.
Man, do you ever predict anything but a 1-0? I've got to ask this. Yeah, if we were playing Talcott under 12s, would you say, oh, I don't know, it might be a tough one, Paul? It really could be.
Depends where it is. If it's at Linear Park, maybe it might go against them.
Yeah, tough place to go. Yeah.
I've took plenty of defeats, I predict. Not just draws.
That's true. You have, actually. That is a very fair point. You're just never going for a win. But that's okay. It's working. It's working. So, yeah. Yeah, I've got to be honest. I think this is a tough one. I think Wickham, even though they've had a little bit of a tricky run of form, if you look at the teams that they've actually lost to, they're doing pretty well. Mm. So I'm going to be optimistic. Why not? Why not? I always try to be. I want to go for a 2-1 win. We will definitely concede. And it's got all the hallmarks of a Gareth McCleary goal, hasn't it, James? I mean, if he doesn't score or have some kind of impact on the match, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, score and then do an Adebayor run to the other end of the pitch and take his top off, probably, is how I imagine it would go.
Poor Gareth. I suspect he'd be complaining about that company that he always is on Twitter for the last 2 months or so, probably underneath his shirt. He'd probably reveal it. Is it JDT or something?
ADT. The old, ADT. The burglar alarm company. And then I think ADT.
Have you replied to my email?
Why always ADT?
I get it. So, yeah, I'm going to say 2-1, and I'm going to go for Sam Smith to score. He seems to score in bursts throughout the whole of his career. So I think he'll get another one, and I'm going to go for a wing screamer, I'm going to say.
The same not two late, scored though. At Adams Park?
Yeah, exactly. Return of the eggs, isn't it? He's got it all over him again. Yeah. So... thanks a lot for joining us, James. I will now pass you over to Matt Lanzi talking to a Wickham fan. I hope you enjoy it. Cheers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second part of our preview of the Wickham game this weekend. We are now flipping to have a look at the opposition. We're going to preview Wickham Wanderers. And to do so, we are joined again. He's back from earlier in the season. We're joined by James from Bucks Free Press. How are you doing, James?
I'm very good, man. Very good. Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. It's a bit of a rarity now for Wickham to come to the Medeski. I think, well, I know they came over COVID, but first time with fans since, I think it was 2001, this game will be. So it's going to be quite a trip for the Wickham fans. I think a lot will be making the most of it and enjoying it. Let's dive though into the season for Wickham. Obviously, we last played you at the very back end of November. You were the lovely, lovely bunch that broke our wonderful away day record. I remember previewing that game and just thinking, like, it's just going to be another loss, just as it had been all through the season. Wickham were not the best that day. I seem to recall it wasn't. We probably didn't see the best of Wickham in that game.
Well, Wickham had chances. I mean, overall, it was a flat performance. I think for the 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so in the second half, I don't actually recall Wickham having a shot on goal. We just had the ball. We just couldn't do anything with it. And fair play to Reading. They defended really well from what I can remember. And of course, Lewis Wing has to come back and score the winner as well to rub salt in the Wickham wound. But that was... back end of November now, so a lot of time has passed since then. So I feel like to think that Wickham have improved in that time, because this was when Wickham were on this horrendous run without a league win. In the end, it turned out to be a 13-game winless run in the Football League, which is their joint longest ever since joining in 1993. So I like to think Wickham would have improved from then on Saturday.
Well, let's have a look at that run following it, because I think before then, I think there was a couple of losses that led up to the Reading game. But then after that Reading game, like you say, it was 13 games without a win. I think it was a total of 16 winless. Sorry, no, it wasn't winless. It was 15 or 16 games with one win in that period. A lot of draws, though, in there, mm-hmm. it must be said. What was going on at Wickham at that point? Because it culminated, obviously, at Fleetwood at home, where there was a lot of booze and everything. I'm not sure the feeling in the fan base was probably that high. What was going on during that time?
It's just been very inconsistent. You can blame it on injuries, you can blame it on tactics, but ultimately there was a period of time where Wickham were just very flat for several games, especially around Christmas time. But then there were times where Wickham had improved a lot, but they just weren't getting the win, and it was quite frustrating. One of the games that sticks out in my mind was, I'm trying to think back to it now, was, I believe, Port Vale at home. Was it Port Vale at home? Oh, no, Shrewsbury at home. That's it, Shrewsbury at home. Wickham just didn't turn up. Just didn't turn up against a Shrewsbury side that were bang average. And it was very, very disappointing. A week later, we go away to Derby and defended brilliantly and could have easily have taken the lead. And then we get a 99th minute equaliser, and it feels like a win. Exactly 7 days later, we're at home to Port Vale. Very comfortable. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but it certainly wasn't the worst. And then we're 1-0 up, and Port Vale score, I think, in the 96th, 97th minute. So it's just been so inconsistent in terms of Wickham this season. And since the victory over Bristol Rovers on New Year's Day, Wickham have only won four times. In fact, I think Wickham have only won four times in the league since the Reading game back at the end of November. But as you said, many, many, many draws, and there have been many positive performances. The results just haven't come through yet. And this season was always going to be an experimental season for the club, with it being Matt Bloomfield's first full season in charge. He wanted his own players in. He wanted his own personnel. There's been a lot of changes. Some of the signings that he made in the summer have since left, such as Richard Keogh, Kean Brecken, Harry Boyce. They've all gone on to new clubs, or returned to their old clubs, I should say. So this season was always going to be a mixed bag. But in terms of performances, there have been times Wickham have played brilliantly and not got the win, and there have been times Wickham have played terribly and managed to scrape a point. So it's been very, very mixed.
Well, during that run, I guess one big problem really for Wickham was scoring goals. That win on New Year's Day was obviously 3-2 for Bristol. That was the only time I think you scored over, I think it was one goal in a game in that entire run of results. Was that down to the style of play and maybe a bit too unlucky, not clinical enough, not having the players?
It's a bit of both. I mean, when you look at, so Wickham beat Fleetwood back in October 4-1. I think that win lifted Wickham up to around 7th or 8th. Then after that, Wickham scored two goals in their next three games, away at Peterborough, which Wickham should have won, at home to Bolton, but Wickham lost 4-2. But Wickham were 2-0 down and managed to pull it back in the last 10 minutes before Bolton scored two more. And then at the end of October, Wickham were leading 2-1 away at Oxford before a 95th minute penalty rescued a point for Oxford. So they have had chances, they have taken them, but from November to, I'll say, back end of December, Wickham just couldn't take their chances. And whenever they did have a chance, they'd either get saved, it would get put wide, and it was just a very, very frustrating period. There were also times that Wickham were on the verge of getting a 0-0 draw, and then something crazy would have happened, most notably at Barnsley when Max Drake had the incident with Sam Crosgrove. I think that was in the 95th minute of the game. Even if, when you're looking in January, a 1-0 loss away at Wigan, but the goal came in the 120th minute of the match, which I believe is the latest ever goal in the history of the EFL. So Wickham have had chances, they just haven't put them away. You can say it's good goalkeeping, you can say it's bad attacking play, but Wickham have got the firepower to score goals. They have scored many goals this season. I mean, we smashed Peterborough 5-2 recently. And that was no fluke, because Wickham that day were very, very good. We also beat Cheltenham 3-1 at the start of February, then beat them 2-0 at the end of the month. So Wickham have got that firepower. It's just a case of taking the chances. And even against Barnsley on Saturday, Wickham were 2-1 up. So they have got goal scorers. It's just a case of being more clinical. And Matt Bloomfield has mentioned this several times this season.
Mm. That goal that Barnsley scored, that was the one where it was something with the keeper, wasn't it? And everyone thought it shouldn't have been a goal, and then it was a goal, I think, from memory, wasn't it?
Back in November.
End of November.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't actually there for that, but that was watching the replay at home was just ridiculous. So Max Dreyer has picked up the ball for what is I believe a free to Wickham in their own box. Sam Cosgrove has sort of ran 20 yards. He sort of nudged into Strayek. Strayek has fallen over. Mm. He's dropped the ball and Sam Cosgrove scores. I mean, I've never seen a goal like that before, ever. And that actually led to Wickham's first red card of the season, because Harry Boys, who was signed by Wickham at the start of the season from Sheffield United, got a second yellow for remonstrating with the ref. And he was one of the players who left back in January. So it's been a real mixed season, as I said earlier, for Wickham, because they've had many, many highs, such as getting to the EFL Trophy final, beating Peterborough at home 5-2, which was brilliant. I mean, the Leighton Orient game back in August was fantastic. But then you've had several lows, which include that game against Barnsley, the game against Wigan, David Wheeler's red card last week, which I believe is the quickest ever in EFL history, which I think it was clocked either 5 seconds, 6 seconds. His heat map was literally coming onto the pitch, then walking straight back on. So it's been a very, very...
Not the heat map you want as a player.
Not really, no. It's the one that you want to avoid. So it's been a very mixed season for Wickham. But hopefully the EFL Trophy final can be a light for Wickham this season.
Well, that has been, I guess, the high point of the season. Getting to Wembley again. Have Wickham been to Wembley with fans? Because I know obviously you came up to the Championship, obviously through it was the points per game situation. Have the fans had the chance to be to Wembley before?
Oh yeah, of course, several times. So a couple of years ago, Wickham lost to Sunderland in the playoff final. I think there were 22,000 Wickham fans that day, which I believe is the most ever for a Wickham game. Of course, there was a 2015 League Two playoff final, which Wickham lost on penalties to Southend. You had the playoff final back in 1994, I believe, against Preston, which had Gareth Ainsworth playing for Preston that day against Wickham. So Wickham have had several days out at Wembley in the past, but this will be the first for any Wickham fan to experience, because they've never got to the EFL Trophy final before. And hopefully they can right the wrongs, because I believe the last time Wickham won at Wembley with fans would have been back in the 90s.
Similar to Reading on that front. We've had multiple playoff heartaches. Last time we won, there was the Simond Cup final, I think, at the end of the 80s. That very famous trophy that everyone knows about, not outside Reading. Like, you know, looking at Wickham then, obviously, when we spoke earlier in the season, we talked about the transition, really, from Gareth Ainsworth to Matt Bloomfield, end of last season. Obviously, Ainsworth, someone that had been with you seemingly since the start of time, 11, 12 years at Wickham, was replaced by a player who himself had been at Wickham since the dawn of time. You know, nearly 20 years, I think it was, he was a player with Wickham. Got into management now. Colchester, where was it before? It did okay, but never really took off. What would you say is the assessment of Bloomfield? Because now you've had just over a season, really, with him. He sits 23 wins, 23 losses, 15 draws for Wickham. Very kind of, I guess you could say, middle of the table kind of form, that for a manager. What's the feeling really around him?
I think Bloomfield needs time, and when you look at the way that he has changed things at Wickham, you can really see he wants to put Wickham in a different direction. So he's very much looking at stats. He's very stats driven, and he wants performance, of course. Results win you games, they put you in the playoffs, they take you to cup finals, they save you from relegation. But you're not going to get through, you're not going to have a successful season if you're playing badly and then you're relying on a winner in the last 10 minutes all the time. It's all about the performance. And whilst there have been several flat performances, as I mentioned earlier, Wickham have actually improved a lot. I mean, I know we talk a lot about XG now, but if we were to look at the last 8 games, Wickham have actually had the highest XG in League One. in the last eight games, which also includes the last four games. They just create
the season in the XG table. I think you guys are seventh as well. Mm. I think so. It's not for the fact that, you know, you're down there, I think, potentially on performances, etc.
It's just taking those chances. And I genuinely believe if Sam Vokes had been fit at the start of the season, if Brandon Handlin didn't suffer his ACL injury back in November, we would have seen a completely different Wickham. Handlin was an integral part to Bloomfield's plans at the start. Whilst he wasn't scoring many, I think he only scored three or four by the time he got injured, he was very much part of his attacking play. And with him being out for another few months, it really has scuppered his plans. So Wickham have been very, very unlucky. And in terms of Bloomfield, he just needs to continue what he's doing. He just needs to get that rhythm going and just try and get a few wins under his belt on a consistent basis. Because Wickham have done it this season, but it's been either two wins separated by two draws and a defeat. There's not really been a solid run of maybe five or six wins in a row, or maybe three or four wins in a row. It's always been segregated with a defeat here or with a draw here. So on the face of it, Wickham have actually regressed since the back end of last season, because Wickham have finished ninth and Wickham are now 14th. But in terms of performance, Wickham are on the road to success if they continue to do what they're doing, because the stats don't lie. It's just taking those chances. That's all it is. And I like to think that Matt Bloomfield will have a good thing going at Wickham. And as I said earlier, a victory in the final against Peterborough, which, of course, we all know is going to be very difficult. Peterborough are top side. And I genuinely believe they will get promoted this season. Yeah. They're that good. It's not going to be easy. But if a victory over Peterborough in the cup does wonders for him, or does wonders for confidence. And sometimes it just clicks and things just start flowing in. Ironically, against Peterborough back in February, everything Wickham touched that day was just going in. Everything just seemed to work perfectly. So it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Very much, I guess, like when Reading went to Exeter in the EFL Cup and we won 9-0 that day or something. It was just bonkers. It was everything we did that day went in. Like you say, it does happen. So, yeah, let's have a look at a few players then, players to watch really from Wickham at the moment. One player that's been, I guess, fantastic for you through the season is Luke Leahy. A bit of an anomaly of a player, because he can play in centre midfield, but he's playing, obviously, or he's played a little bit of late out at left back. Top scorer, top assister for you guys, scored five penalties, obviously, in those goals, admittedly, but been fantastic for you guys so far.
Oh, he's been probably one of the signings of the League One season. He's been a real revelation. When he came into the side, you wouldn't have thought he was a new signing. He just hit the ground running, and he's been superb. He's probably one of the better players that Wickham have got. He's certainly one of the most important for Matt Bloomfield this season. And as you said, Luke Leahy is very much one of the players to watch. I believe another player to watch is Freddie Potts, on loan from West Ham. He could be up there as one of the other signings of the season. He's been fantastic. Doesn't score that many. I think he's only scored two goals this season. But the way he picks out a pass, on loan from West Ham, you can clearly see that he has modelled his game on Declan Rice. Very, very similar players. And if Potts just continues to do what he's doing, he's going to be a real top player. Easily, he can easily get into a championship side, like top end championship side, if he just continues to do what he's doing, because he is still very young. He is only 20 years old, but he's been fantastic for Wickham since joining. And of course, one player to look out for is a player that I think you very much know, in Gareth McCleary. It goes without saying that with this being his first visit back at Reading since he left back in 2020, he obviously wants to prove his points, really. So I think he'll be one to watch, but Reading fans will know a lot about him. And it should be a good game. I'm very much looking forward to it. But the thing is, Matt, I'm not going to be there. So I'm going to have... No, I've got to... I know, it's disappointing, but I'm attending a wedding up in Radford. So I told the missus, you know, the paramount importance of attending this fixture, but that didn't go down too well.
The draw of the Bucks or the Buckingham, what do they even call it? The Bucks Derby. Is it a derby to you, actually? First and foremost, is it a derby? Because I don't think many people see it as a derby. It's Reading's closest, I think, geographical team, barring Maidenhead, I think. but is it a derby?
Well, it depends on how you define derby. If we're talking about geographical locations, then yes, because you can't live geography, because for Wickham, this is their shortest journey of the season. So if you base it on that, it is a derby. But if you look at past matches, the terms of the rivalry, it's not really been there. I mean, I know we had the game back in November, and then prior to that, we had the two games in COVID, but there was no one there. And then I think the last occasion was the League Cup tie back in 2019. He did indeed. Yeah, he got the equaliser after Alex Samuel gave Wickham the lead. I think that was the first time that the two sides had played in, since the early 2000s?
Yes. So, we'll to put it in perspective, the two teams have only faced each other 15 times across history. So, there's not really much, like you say, to blood a rivalry there between the two. Maybe it will if they stay in the same division for long enough. But I think it's fair to say it doesn't quite have the history there. I can't remember who scored in for Wickham that day. I know Sam Smith went and shushed the home fans, and then I think your midfielder chap went and shushed our fans afterwards, which left a little bit of friskiness between fans and him, I think. But
there was nothing there. I mean, I remember that's Killian Phillips. And he, again, was another summer signing that has since left. So it's been one of those seasons for Wickham, but it hasn't been a disaster. It really hasn't. I know a lot of people have called this like a terrible season, but any season in League One for Wickham is brilliant. It is, because it's a very difficult league to get out of. But once, as you say, you drop down into League Two, it's just as hard to get back into it, as we've seen with other clubs in the past. So this season was always, in my opinion, and this isn't obviously the viewpoint of every single Wickham fan, but I always looked at this season as a bit of a free hit. Whatever happens, happens. Matt Bloomfield does have a good thing going. He just needs a bit of time. He's been very unfortunate with the injuries, such as Brandon Handel and Sam Vokes. There have been times Wickham have looked flat. You can say that's down to tactics, but a final at Wembley is something that shouldn't be turned. You know, you shouldn't turn your nose up at that. And there have been some very, very good performances this season from Wickham. So it hasn't been a complete disaster.
Let's get you a score prediction then for the weekend. No. You're not going to be there. So you've got free reign over what you can say. You can say a loss if you want, because it doesn't matter, because you're not going to be there.
I have to be careful. I'm going to be in the pew up in Bradford, keeping an eye out on the score. So if Wickham get a last minute winner and I jump up celebrating when they're doing the vows, that could turn a bit nasty. But
that's going to be an awkward one to explain.
It really will be. But I'm going to be quite conservative here, but I think it's going to be a draw. I can just picture that. That isn't me sitting on the fence in terms of me not wanting to make a decision. I can genuinely believe I think it's going to be 1-1. I think Wickham will take the lead. But I think with the amount of support Reading are going to have on the day, with everything that's going on, I think that's just going to help rally the team, really. And I think Reading will get an equaliser. But Wickham have looked quite good recently. I know the 4-2 defeat to Barnsley doesn't really say much, but Wickham did have a man sent off. And to be fair, Wickham were in control up until half-time. Wickham were really, really good. It was actually a needless foul by Leahy that led to their equaliser. And after Wickham went 2-1 up again, it was just, as Matt Bloomfield said last week, about a lack of discipline. So if Wickham keep themselves in check, there's nothing to say that they can't do a job on Reading. But I'm gonna go with 1-1.
Fair enough. Well, let's hope for a good game. Obviously, Wickham, I think they've sold over 1,600 tickets already for the game at the weekend. So should be quite a good atmosphere in the away end as well. So let's just hope for a good game. And hopefully we'll both be back here next season and we can preview some more League One games next season. James, thank you so much, obviously, both times for coming on this season and helping us preview Wickham, being brilliant on the podcast, and all the best for the rest of the season for Wickham.
Thank you so much, man. Just before I go, I'd just like to say that I am very much in support of the club in terms of what the club has been going through. All those posts on Twitter that keep getting shared, I'm doing my bit to share as well, because it's such a shame to see what's happening with Reading. I remember you guys being in the Premier League under Steve Koppel many, many years ago. So I'm very much backing the club to get out of their current mire.
Top man. Well, fingers crossed for everyone's sake, Dion can just get out and Reading can just restart, you know. Let's hope. If you have enjoyed this episode, please be sure to obviously give it a like, a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice as well. Helps us a lot in podcast rankings and everything. Be sure to follow all of our socials to keep up to date on all the latest EPR and Reading FC content. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, go give us a like over on there. We will be back on Sunday as well, reviewing the game on Saturday. Hopefully 3 points looking back, but win, loss or draw, we will of course be here. So thank you very much for joining us. I've been Matt Lansley and this has been the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.